The lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28, and Luke 4, verses 31 to 37, Christ's sovereign authority over demons. The Apostle Paul taught that believers in Christ today do not wrestle against flesh and blood, that is, not only against ungodly human beings, but against evil spirits who influence the ungodly. That's given to us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Jesus, our Lord, experienced such spiritual wrestling even in his ministry of God's word in the synagogue of Capernaum. His ministry in that setting is instructive and encouraging for us in our ministries. So we view the event as recorded in Mark 1, 21 to 28 and Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 37 for our insight, our application, and our edification. I'd like to read the passage, Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 37, because it's the more complete section, and then we'll look at the text. Luke 4, verses 31 through 37. And he came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and he taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine or his teaching, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man who had an unclean devil or demon, and it cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold your peace, and come out of him." When the demon had thrown him down in the midst, or made him go into a convulsion, he came out of him and did not hurt him. And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean demons, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And according to Matthew's, Mark's gospel, it came throughout that entire region of Galilee. Well, according to both Mark 1, 21 and 22, and its harmonic passage in Luke 4, 31 to 32, when Jesus arrived in Capernaum, and he taught in the synagogue there on the Sabbath days, the congregation was astonished at his teaching, for his word was with exousia, in the Greek, authority. And according to Mark 1, 22, it was unlike the teaching of the scribes. In order to understand what they're talking about, we look at what the scribes did in Jesus' day. To explain, the scribal method of teaching was to quote the ancient rabbis and compare teacher to teacher, for the scribes sought to produce witnesses to support their interpretation of the scriptures. In other words, the person who was teaching in the synagogue would say, "Well, Rabbi so-and-so says this, Rabbi so-and-so says this, and I believe that this rabbi is correct because of such and such." But you would never say, "This is what the Word of God says, boom, and lay it out." Jesus comes along and says, "This is the Word of God," wham, and he gives it to them, and people are stunned, like he's authority in himself. He's not leaning on any other rabbi. So Christ did not depend on what other men had said, but rested on his own authority. So people quickly recognized that his doctrine differed from that of the rabbis, and that he did not quote the rabbinical forebears of his authority. Well, the congregation's aware that Jesus relied on his own authority and not that of the ancient rabbis led to the people's wondering about the credibility of Jesus' authority, meaning that his authority needed to be validated that the people might accept Jesus' teaching as true. So this is an unusual thing. Jesus is getting up there, he's stating it, and he's basing it on himself as an authority. Well, the people are saying, "Well, who's he?" Now, at this particular point, a demon who possessed a man in the congregation spoke up, and he was trying to undermine Jesus' authority in the minds of the congregation by making a statement to that end as follows. And I want to explain this to show you what the demon was actually doing. The Greeks thought that there were both good and evil demons. Okay? And so with Mark and Luke both identifying this demon as an unclean akatharsos demon, that demon would be known by the congregation to be one that would be typically making false, profane statements instead of speaking the truth. In other words, this is a demon that was known for saying that which was not true. So in order to get the people to disbelieve the authority of Jesus Christ, what do you think the demon's going to do? He's actually going to speak the truth. And that's going to be a signal to the people from the demon's perspective that just the opposite is true. So that he's trying to undermine Jesus by actually speaking the truth, which is unusual for this demon. However, what this demon did in this case was make accurate statements. It said that it had nothing to do with Jesus since he was come to destroy the demons. It confessed that it knew who he was, the Holy One of God. Now, the demon meant to get the congregation to believe the opposite of what it was saying based on its own unclean reputation, so as to get the people to present to think that Jesus did not mean to destroy the demons and that he was not the Holy One of God, but that he was an evil man, that he was himself was demon-possessed. See, that's what the demon was trying to do. So what did Jesus do? Jesus countered the demon by telling him to be muzzled, to be silenced. The Greek word is phimotheti, which means be muzzled. In our lingo, it'd be shut up. Okay? Essentially, it said, keep your mouth quiet. Don't say anything. And that's what the Lord Jesus wanted him to do, because by speaking what he was doing, he was causing the people to think the opposite. So Jesus didn't want him to speak anymore. So he would stop trying to mislead the people about Jesus' credibility, and also that this demon would come out of the man. The demon fiercely tried to resist submitting to Jesus by causing the man it possessed to have a violent convulsion and to express a loud cry or shriek. See, this was an unclean demon, and he hated Jesus Christ because he's God, God in the flesh. And he tried to fight the Lord Jesus. That's why he put this man into a convulsion. And then he shrieked really loud, full of anger, full of rage. But the Lord Jesus was protecting this man from the demon so that the demon would not hurt him. See, demons, when they're possessing people, they can cause a tremendous amount of damage. But the Lord would not allow that to occur. However, Jesus' authority prevailed, and the demon came out of the man without harming him. The whole congregation was amazed and said, "What word is this? That with authority," that's exousia again, "and might, dunamis, he orders the unclean spirits, and they come out." Consequently, Jesus' victory over the unclean demon led to his fame being spread into every part of the region of Galilee. You can see why Jesus, when he went into the synagogue, he knew that this man was demon-possessed, but he was going to allow that demon to speak because that was going to work into the purposes of God. So when he cast that demon out, that would demonstrate his power over these unclean demons. And of course, this is going to lead later on to Jesus exorcising demons out of people way up into the late hours of the night. In fact, into the early hours of the next day, there were so many people there that were demon-possessed. This is amazing. This was in Israel. These were Hebrew people, and then they were demon-possessed. It demonstrates that the spiritual tenor of the nation at the time, it was at a low, to say the least. So the lesson is, as Jesus taught in the synagogue of Capernaum, he amazed the people by speaking by his own authority instead of citing ancient rabbis like the scribes did. So the people wondered about the validity of his authority. A demon who possessed a man in the congregation then tried to discredit Jesus' authority before the congregation. So Jesus ordered it to be muzzled and to come out of the man. The demon tried to oppose Christ's order, but it had to obey and leave the man unharmed. So the authority of Jesus was firmly confirmed in the entire region of Galilee. So in application, of course, may we rejoice in the divine authority of our Lord Jesus Christ over evil spirits. This is a wonderful thing. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ, he cast 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. And she came to be a believer in Christ, a very committed believer. And it's an amazing thing, but he has that tremendous power over the evil spirits. When we minister in the power of the Holy Spirit, may we rely on his power and gifting to proclaim and live the truth, trusting God to validate our credibility before others in order to overcome Satan's efforts to undermine our ministry for the Lord. The demonic world is a very real world. Years ago, I heard an account. This happened in Nigeria, West Africa. there were missionaries who had gone into a new area that the gospel had not gone before, and they were preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in that area. And there was a witch doctor there, and when the missionary actually mentioned the name of Jesus, the witch doctor screamed at the top of his voice. He clapped his hands over his ears, and he ran down the path saying, "Don't ever tell me that name again. Don't say that name again." Now, this witch doctor was not exposed to Christianity. He hadn't grown up and gone to a university in this country where he was down on the Christian faith. He had never heard of the name of Jesus. But his reaction was instantaneous, and it was very fierce. Another incident happened. There were some missionaries who were trying to witness in the area, and the witch doctors wanted to keep them put. So what they did was they used the evil spirits, and they called a whole bunch of poisonous serpents out, and the poisonous serpents surrounded the house and were coiled as though they were getting ready to strike. And the missionaries couldn't go out, couldn't go anywhere, because the serpents were there. So recognizing what had happened, they decided to pray. So they prayed and committed to the Lord, and the snakes uncoiled and went back into the jungle. And then the missionaries were able to go out, and they could continue the work. This is a very real world, and we do face this in our country right here. I was told by Dr. Dwight Pentecost before we came to New England that every time he gets on the Merritt Parkway freeway, expressway, to come up into Connecticut to ministry, he's always noticed that there was a pressure that would come on him, and it would stay until he left, and he's left doing ministries. And when we started, he found out my wife and I were coming here. He told us, he said, "The Lord's sending you there to do a good work, but," he says, "you're going to run into angelic conflict in a big way." And he reminded us of that. I have since learned that Litchfield County, especially around Banton, is second to Salem, Massachusetts, as far as demonic activity is concerned in New England. This is what was reported to me by a man who's here in Connecticut. So there's a lot of spirit activity in the area. And it behooves us as Christians, and I use the word behoove advisedly, in other words, it motivates it, it obligates us as Christians to make sure that we are functioning in the spiritual realm. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It may appear that way sometimes, but we don't. We wrestle against angelic forces that are at work, many times behind flesh and blood, behind human beings. So it's very, very important that we rely upon the Lord and we trust in Him, and that we be in an attitude of prayer constantly, especially if we're facing this type of angelic conflict. There are sometimes I come out as a pastor, I'm getting ready to minister the word, especially in the Sunday morning service, and I sense an enormous pressure, and I'll go to prayer right up here just before we come out. And I'm glad that we have a time of quiet. The board has worked that out with the pianist and whatnot. I just go to the Lord in prayer. And because I sense I need that. I need the direction from the Lord, the strength from the Lord, clarity of mind. And then the Lord provides it. So God help us to be people who are... we have a defeated foe. He was defeated at the cross, Satan was. But God still wants us to have victory over the efforts of the evil one. And the Lord Jesus Christ will give us that victory.